there, it's Toby, and before you get started on this episode, I wanted to tell you about our sponsor, Retropop Relics. Retropop Relics has been creating some of the coolest 3D printed giant video game cartridges. If you visit RetropopRelics.com, you can see a bunch of the cartridges that are already available. You can get Super Smash Bros., Paper Mario, Super Mario World, Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, and even Green. These are perfect decorations for your game room. So again, go check out RetropopRelics.com. And if you use the promo code GENIE at checkout, you'll get 10% off. RetropopRelics.com. Enjoy the show.
Hello, gamers. Welcome to the Secret Levels podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be going on our second side quest of all time, so that's side quest number two!
I'm player one, Toby.
I am player two, Goobs.
And we have a special guest with us today that's going to be talking about a new Sega game that's in the works right now. We have Javier from the Retro Nerve, and he's working on the Kung Fu UFO video game, again, for the Sega, Genesis, or Master System. So thank you, Javier, for coming on. We have a bunch of questions about this project, so I hope you're ready to answer them all.
Hi, guys. Thanks for inviting me here. Yeah, sure. I'm happy to tell you guys all about our project, our game, and our small development team that we call Retro Nerve.
Yeah. We really appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's very exciting to talk to you guys about this, or talk to you about your guys' project.
Yeah, I'm really excited and thankful that you guys are helping promoting our game, our upcoming crowdfunding campaign.
Starts on the 18th, right?
September 18th.
Yeah, September 18th. Yeah, we're basically there. We're working really hard, we're tired, and we just want to press the publish button and see what happens.
Okay, so September 18th, you're going to have an Indiegogo campaign, and like I said, it's a new Sega game. You're actually going to produce a game for Sega Genesis console. Like, you're going to be able to get a cartridge and put it in, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a 16-bit game. It's for the Sega Genesis and the Mega Drive. We're going to produce the cartridges with the boxes and manuals, and just like in the 90s, and we want to keep that alive, you know, the feeling of buying a cartridge, getting out of the box, getting a poster in the box, all of that. We want to keep that alive, and well, we're trying.
Well, that's so amazing that you guys are doing that. Just so, like, who knows? Like, someone could buy that for their kids so they could relive that moment that they had as a child. Like, that would be so cool for the to pass that down, so to say.
Yeah, I was reading an article yesterday about the games don't have instruction booklets anymore, not even digital ones. And it's we don't want to lose that. We love the physical.
Yeah, it's not the same holding the piece of paper in your hand and reading. I remember we used to buy games at the store, and on the way home, you're reading the instruction manual.
Yep.
And just to, like, to get yourself hyped up on that 10-15 minute drive home. And that's going to be cool that you guys are bringing that back.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're after. We want to keep that alive.
So is...
Also...
Go ahead. You
know, also, the whole game is like a love letter to the 80s and the 90s and the action movies with aliens and martial arts. And the 90s games, like on the Super Nintendo or the Genesis, that there were a lot of alien games and martial arts games. And nowadays, you don't see that so much anymore. There are less games of that genre. So we want to bring back that too.
Yeah. So tell us about what the is there a story already written for the game? Do you know what you want from the game? Oh, is there?
There is a story. It starts with our protagonist, our hero. His name is Young, and he lives in a small country, like a third world country, just like us. And one night, his mother is kidnapped by a strange looking Chinese bandit, and he just goes rampage trying to save his mother, and that takes him to China, where he finds out about his past. He never knew his father, and that's a huge point in the plot. And from there, it just gets crazier and crazier, and they end up in outer space fighting aliens.
Right on.
You've got a YouTube channel where you've been posting some of the updates on art and some of the video. There's
and some of the music and stuff too, which sounds amazing, by the way.
Oh yeah, the music's great. But the you show like this plane crash, and it looks, when you watch these videos on YouTube, it looks like, if you were just to show me the video and be like, hey, check out this game, I'd be like, hey, what is that system? Is that a game I missed growing up? Because it looks like a legit Sega game. I have an issue with video games that come out nowadays on PlayStation 4 and Steam and all that are like, they look like they're 16-bit games, but they don't play anything like a 16-bit game. This looks like it came straight out of the 90s, and it's yeah. really cool. How are y'all doing all the graphics? Like, are y'all actually using Sega-type hardware, or is it just an emulation on the Sega?
No, we are using the Sega hardware to test the game with flashcards and all, but we're developing on Mac and Windows. We're on PCs. We're not using the original dev kit,
right?
Because we don't have those. But if we have those, we would love to. I make the graphics on GIMP or any A-Sprite, I don't know how to pronounce it, A-Sprite, the software. But what gives the retro look is the console itself, the limitations of the hardware, the number of colors, the size of the sprites. I can go crazy with the colors and the sprites because the Sega wouldn't manage that. So that's what gives the look and the feeling of the retro game. And also the sound, the music, it's programmed for the hardware of the Sega.
See, that's awesome. I feel like it's a, like I said, there's developers that make games that look 16-bit, but they aren't, I don't feel like they're a true 16-bit.
The heart's not behind it.
Right. I feel like there's a lot of heart behind this because it is. It's for the Sega. It's not like, oh, we've made this game, it's for PlayStation 4, it's got all these extra things. It looks like a beautiful Sega game that I just missed and didn't get a chance to play when I was a kid.
Okay, so then we're doing things right because that's what we want to do.
Oh, you guys are nailing it 100% so far.
Thanks.
I think I came across you guys on Instagram, and I was like, it was just such a cool project. Like, I've been following it for, I feel like, a month or so, maybe even a little longer than that. And I've been interacting with you guys a little bit, and it's been great seeing how the project is growing. How much of the game is actually ready right now?
Oh, not much, actually. Developing for the Sega, it's a really slow process. The development is pretty hard. Sometimes we spend 1 or 2 days just trying to fix one small little bug on the code. It's crazy. We are right now finishing one stage that we want to release as a demo on September 18, together with the Indiegogo campaign. And we also have a lot of concept art and mockups and some graphics for other levels. Like, we have a prototype for a motorcycle level where the hero is riding a bike like in Battletoads.
Oh, nice. Yes. We hope we don't make it as hard as that.
Oh, no, it will be easier. We have another stage that will be something like that, but on a plane. You are on the top of a plane fighting guys, and you can see the sun in the back, and it's like a beautiful sunset, and you're just fighting bad guys in the top of the plane.
Oh, that's and awesome.
We're on a little clip. Oh, sorry, go on.
We want to have a bunch of different gameplay mechanics on the game, like bonus stages and different fighting mechanics. So the game is very varied, and we don't want people to get bored playing the same thing all over the game. So every two or three levels there will be a special fight or a special level that will change everything.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. Just shake up the genre a bit. Just like, because when you're playing like a beat 'em up game going through, you kind of get like, okay, you get in the rhythm of it. So it's good that you guys are switching it up every few levels just to like have that breath of fresh air to keep on going.
Yeah, exactly. The platforming, it's a mix between, it has some Tomb Raider in there. It has some flashback or those cinematic platformers. The beat 'em up, it has a lot of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat in there. You can block, you can make special attacks, and you can explore the levels that are pretty big. You can collect stuff. There will be some puzzles to solve, vehicles, boss fights. We want it to be a big game, not something impossible for us to make, but we want the game to be like something that people get surprised when they play it.
Right. Now, it looks like there's like a combo system for the character.
That's what I was going to say before. It looks amazing.
His name's
Young. The little fight battles.
Yeah. It's Young, right? His name?
Young, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you've got Young, and he's got these like kung fu combos, it looks like. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's not as complex as a game like Street Fighter, but yeah, we have some combos like punch combo, kick combos, some mix of that. You can throw some special attacks in the middle, like a flying kick, and then you can connect a punch right after the flying kick. But we don't want to do like one of those combo systems where you can connect 25 hits or something like that. It's simple, but it's fun to play, and it's very intuitive.
That's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the development team and stuff? Like, how big? You said it was a small team. How big is this small team?
Yeah, actually, we're two people.
Two people? That's awesome. Yeah.
That's impressive.
I'm the pixel artist, and I also kind of make some big decisions on the game design. And Sebastian, the other guy, he's the coder. He makes all the music and sound effects. And he also makes game design while he programs the game. And we are working with a friend called Luis. We call him Shasho Yayo. He's making all the concept art. I mean, he draws. He makes the concept art, and then I turn that into pixel art.
There was one drawing I think you posted on Instagram, and it looks awesome. Was that his artwork?
Which one?
It's a pencil sketch. It looked like it was still being inked or something.
That one might be one made by another Luis Martins, the artist for Paprium.
Okay.
He's making a special cover art for a limited edition.
Oh, that's what it was. I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. He reached out to us. He wanted to help on the project, and we ended up doing that the art, so we can offer a special edition on the Indiegogo that will be limited, and it will be with a special design on the box and the poster too.
That's awesome. So that's a limited cover art that's going to be for Indiegogo backers. So
yeah,
what are going to be some of the tiers for the Indiegogo? Like some of the rewards, I should say.
I actually posted on our Twitter, I think a few days ago. We'll have the loose cartridge, the standard edition, the box standard edition with a manual and a poster. We will have a music CD with a soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool.
All the chips and music. We'll have the ROM version. It's like It's like the digital game will be a ROM that you, people can play on emulators.
Awesome.
And yeah.
And it's gonna be taken over the world by storm. Kung Fu UFO everywhere.
Yeah, that's our intention.
And we're gonna be spreading the good word. Let me tell you.
Okay. I can tell you guys that one of the stretch goals of the Indigo campaign will be a port to PC and Mac, a Steam version of the game. We want to make a true port for modern systems, hoping to one day get the game just like it looks on the Mega Drive to modern consoles like PlayStation 4 or Switch.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be really neat because, like I said, you get the games on PlayStation 4, they look like a 16-bit game, but they're not. They don't have that feel. They don't look like it completely. They use whatever colors they want. They, you know, it's just not the same. So it would be really cool to see a real throwback game up on one of these newer platform stores. So
yeah, exactly. We wanted to look and play just like the Mega Drive version, but made for modern consoles and platforms.
Right. Like, I mean, the best game that I've played as of recently that has the old video game feel is Sonic Mania. And it's because it's a Sonic game, like a true Sonic game. It's not 3D. Yeah. It's not crazy. And I loved playing that. And like Goobs and I have gotten the new Sega collections that they've released on the PS4 and stuff. And you know, so it's just really neat to see a new game. I mean, and how you're talking about like there's going to be different mechanics for different levels, so like you know, driving and stuff. That's going to make it a lot of fun because, like Goob's saying...
Yeah, I'm really excited about this project.
Yeah, like Goob's was saying, you know, beat 'em up, even some of our favorites, like Streets of Rage 2 or something like that, you don't get burnt out, but by level 7 or 8, you're like, okay, I've been beating up and doing the same exact motions through this entire game, so that's really, really cool.
Yeah, exactly. We want to make the game that nobody else did, not even back in the 90s, not even now. It falls on us to make that game, and we're doing it.
Right.
Are the combos that are you gonna be able to progress with the combos?
I don't think that you can. We're still deciding a lot of stuff on the gameplay side. I can tell you that the character will be learning new techniques along the way.
Perfect.
Yeah, like special powers, like, I don't know, to say something, will be able to throw energy balls.
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
At some point in the game, he will be able to do that.
That's super cool. You can't have a kung fu game or, you know, some kind of fighting game without a good power like that.
Yeah. The aliens can give our hero lots of powers.
Oh, really? Ooh, yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
You know, and you said something about having a CD included. I remember being younger and getting Killer Instinct on the Super Nintendo, and it came with a soundtrack CD, and I was so excited. So that's what that makes me think of, is getting that, and it wasn't even that good of music, but I was so excited because I was like, yeah, I can listen to my game, and, you know, I don't know, it was a cool thing, you know.
Riding around with your Discman, you know, by your side.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Yeah. Like, all the goodies that you're going to have with it, the poster, man, I remember when you would open up a game and you'd have a poster in it, that was super exciting, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're aiming at. I mean, I want to do that, the CD with the cardboard case, not the jewel case, plastic, the one, the cardboard case that came inside the game box. So you open the little game box and it's all in there, and you just start looking at all your new shiny stuff. And when you're done with that, you just put the game on the console and get to enjoy it.
That's awesome.
Get to kicking some alien butt.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Also, Sebastian, the other guy, he's like a huge fan of music or chiptune, and he's an amazing musician, and he's planning to do some instrumental versions of the chiptune music. So some songs will have like two versions, the CD version and the chiptune one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's super cool. Is this your first game to work on?
Astro Nerve is our first project, but we both have like 10 years of experience making games separately and in other companies as freelancers. We have experience, but Astro Nerve is our first project.
Okay.
We kind of last year we started working together, and it kind of clicked, you know, and we went fully indie, and we said, just let's do this and see what happens.
So how long have you already been working on this project?
About a year. Yeah, some months just talking about the idea, prototyping, and then it all started falling into place. And about six months ago, we started all the social media, and we started promoting the project, and as the game took form into a playable game, we started posting all the updates. We are crazy about social media. We are always on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, trying to post every day.
I was quite impressed. Toby messaged you, and you got back to us right away.
Yeah. Me and him.
I'm always.
We were talking over Skype, and I was like, man, we should just message them and see if they want to come on an interview. And I sent the message, and about 2 seconds later, I was like, they're already writing back. So we appreciate you getting back with us super quick like that.
I like to work with two monitors. There's my work in one monitor, the big one, and on the side I have a smaller one with all of the browser tabs, with all of our social media. It's always open.
So you know when you get something.
Yeah, if anyone wants to say hi, just look us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and send a message. I will answer as soon as possible. I love to do that.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Like I said, it's been a lot of fun watching images that y'all been posting, some of the videos, testing out sound effects, testing. I love the, I was talking about the plane video that you had posted where you're showing what the plane looks like, and y'all had posted a video of just the smoke, just the test of the smoke. You guys have been getting feedback from some other people I've noticed in the comments and stuff about, when Young gets killed or loses, y'all had the blood animation and people were giving input. I like that y'all are listening to and taking notes for, you know, what people are saying. I think that's really cool that y'all kind of let some of the people that are following this project kind of say, hey, that looks awesome. Or, you know, they get to be honest with you, I feel like.
Yeah, we love to get feedback. We love to listen to people. They know what they want to play. They know how they want their games to look or to be. So we try to listen to everyone, and what's possible, we do it. If not, we can always find some way to fix things. The thing is, when we started this, we were really motivated and inspired by projects that came before us, like Tanglewood or Xenocrisis, that are also working on Kickstarter and are for the Mega Drive. And those guys are like huge legends on the industry. They are programmers with lots of years of experience, and they're huge teams. And we're not that. We needed to show people that we can do this on our own. So our way to inspire confidence that we are going to do this and we're going to do it okay and fine, we're going to finish the game, is showing how we progress, how we make updates, making people part of the development process in some way.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's super motivational too.
Yeah, it really is.
So what's what kind of inspired the I mean, you said, you know, old action movies and stuff, but like, why UFOs and Kung Fu combined? Like, is there any special reason? Is there like one of you loved the alien type movies and one loves Kung Fu? Like, how did that idea really form?
Once upon a or what's that little Big Trouble Little China versus Aliens?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It just came to us talking about like ancient aliens and all those crazy theories on the internet about ancient stuff coming from the space. And we started talking about what if martial arts are come from another planet, you know, all the techniques and the moves and the energy. And we started from there and just started talking, throwing ideas, and we get to that.
Hey, that's a pretty cool idea. I mean, that's a good, you know, why not? do y'all both believe in UFOs and aliens and stuff?
We believe that there are stuff out there. It's hard not to.
Yeah, that
sounds like you need to have them on your other show, Toby.
Yeah. See, I do
Toby's
another.
Toby's other show is all about conspiracies and aliens and.
Actually, Sebastiana, the other guy, he's more into aliens and that stuff. I'm not that a believer, but I'm sure that there might be something out there.
Right.
It's
yeah.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I am. I'm like, yeah, I think there's something out there because it's just a really, really big open space, if not.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the games that, you know, you played growing up? Like, what were some of your favorite games and stuff?
Okay. I'm a huge Mega Man fan.
Oh,
yes. You're talking to the rock dudes.
Yeah, you're our new best friend because we're both Mega Man geeks. That's actually why we formed this podcast, is because our love for Mega Man and old retro games.
Nice. I'm also a huge Castlevania fan. Mostly the new ones, the Metroidvanias. I love Symphony of the Night. The Game
Boy
Advance.
Played Dead Cells?
No, not yet. Not yet. I haven't had the time to play it. I'm planning on it.
It's addicting, man. Stay away from it. It's like a drug.
Okay, so no Dead Cells until September 18. I also I'm a huge fan of the PlayStation era, the first PlayStation games like Tomb Raider, Metal Gear. I love low poly games. I'm a huge fan of low resolution games. And also I play a lot of action RPGs like Diablo or I love the Borderlands are shooters,
Borderlands is so much fun.
RPGs. I love looting stuff for hours and killing the same boss again and again to get that rare weapon that it drops. I love that.
Yeah, see, I'm real bad on Fallout 3. Like, I never beat the game because all I do is explore and search every nook and cranny. I have a problem, and I've carried it over into every game I play now, is I have to search every box and everything that's hidden.
Yeah, I'm like that. It happened to me on Fallout 4. I'm not proud of it. I played, like, way too many hours on Fallout 4 without paying attention to the story, just exploring the wasteland. And then I tried to continue with the story, and they put me to create a house or something, and I just left the game there. I didn't bother.
That's where it lost me as well. It's just like, no, I'm not taking care of these people.
Yeah, exactly. I want to explore and kill big stuff and get the loot.
I'm not here to play Minecraft. I'm here to play Fallout.
Exactly.
So, and I know y'all are still focused on Kung Fu UFO as of right now, but if this goes well, do y'all see another game in the future, Kung Fu UFO 2? Like, I mean, do you have already ideas for other projects?
We want to return to VR future. We want to make this a work, our living. So yeah, we have some ideas that are there in the freezer waiting to be worked on. But I don't think it will be like anytime soon. We need to work in Kung Fu UFO for like, I don't know, a year and get it done perfectly. And then we're trying to port it to as many platforms as we can. There's also, we've been talking to porting it to Super Nintendo or Amiga or some retro computers.
Right on.
Yeah, we don't know what will happen with that. We want to port it to even to cell phones. And
that'd be cool.
After that, we might look into making more games. Some time ago, I made a mock-up for a Game Boy game, and I posted it on Twitter, and people loved it. So Game Boy game might be on the way sometime.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool to see. You know how back in the 90s, you'd get your normal console port, and then like you'd get a port of something on a, I wouldn't say put it on the Game Gear, but like a smaller version of the game. I know that's a lot more work, but that'd be really cool to see like a miniature port like that, like, you know, going from the main console to a Game Boy or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that making that with Kung Fu UFO can be really cool. Maybe if people want it, I don't know. If there's demand, we will do it.
Right. So what are the goals? What's the goal and the time period that y'all are looking at for the campaign on Indiegogo?
I can tell you that it's not going to be a low goal. We need money to make this. Mm-hmm. Okay. We won't be asking for $10,000. It will be more than that. We need it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we will reach it.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to reach that and hopefully some other stretch goals.
Is there going to be a limit? There's going to be a limited number, obviously, of the one with the special the special cover and the CD and everything. Have you already thought about like how many, or is that kind of down the line a little bit?
Today we have like 300 or 400, but it might change. It might change as we approach the time date. We don't want to make it so limited that people can get it. I mean,
right.
It will be limited on the Indiegogo, but it won't be limited like we're going to make only 50 copies. No, it won't be like that.
Okay, good. Because that's what I was curious, because, you know, I know I'm going to want one of those special editions, so I want to make sure I get in there before and make sure they don't run out.
Yeah, I got my eyes on the prize on that one.
So, okay, that's nice.
So hopefully all of our listeners will want to do the same thing. They'll want to go and get the special edition one, the one that's, you know, like us collectors. Because I'm a game collector. I collect video games, and I think this would be a really cool one to have on the shelf and to be like,
and the one that's going to be the first in the legacy of Retro Nerve.
Yeah.
Let's go for that, yeah. We have so many ideas. We want to make games for Super Nintendo, for Dreamcast. I don't know. We're not short of ideas. We just need the time and the money to make them a reality.
Yeah, time is always the
time
the
is
problem.
Money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you ever think about expanding the team? If anyone's willing to like work for free, just to say like, look, I wanna help out where I can. Is there any? Expanding.
Are you auditioning for a job, Toby?
No,
you
know, I know nothing about any of this. I just want to play the game.
Well, actually, right now, no, we don't want to expand the team. There's a lot of people that have reached out to us, offering help, asking what they can do. And right now, we are a small team. We are like really focused on doing this. So it's our first project. We don't want to grow the team yet. Maybe another future project. So what we tell people is, if you want to help, just help us promoting this. Tell all your friends, tell your family. We will need a lot of people on the crowdfunding campaign. We will need the money. So after that, we'll see if we can get like a big office and more people, a bigger team, and make better games, of course.
Right. So what's going to be the lowest that you can donate on? Because I know some Indiegogo campaigns are different. Like, is there going to be a tier for like $1 donation for the game?
I think that the lowest will be around $5.
Okay.
And if you do that, you will be getting a PDF file with a digital art book. So we don't want people to put money and get nothing. Everybody will get at least the digital soundtrack, the digital art book.
That's awesome.
And if we reach the stretch goals for the Steam version of the game, everyone will be getting a key for the game.
Oh, very cool.
That's a way to how do you say it, to
motivate
motivate people into helping us.
Right. I should have asked this at the very beginning. Where are you guys from?
We're from Uruguay. We're a small country in South America.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you had told me that your English wasn't that good, or it was you I was messaging, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, it was, and I'm the one that manages all the community management and all the social media is me.
Okay. Does your partner also speak English? Any?
He speaks English, but his reading English is better than when he spoke. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I hope this all works out. I hope the funding goes wonderful. I hope y'all are able to do Kung Fu UFO 2 and 3 and 4. And
yeah, that's the new Mega Man. That's what we want right now.
Yeah, we want to see we want to see 12 installments of Kung Fu UFO. We want to
see Kung Fu UFO X.
Okay. Oh.
Where he's he becomes an alien. Boom.
Well, maybe on the third one you discover that he's actually an alien. Anything can happen.
Right.
I can tell you guys, if we manage to get the money and do this, there will be another one. I don't know if the next game will be a sequel, but there will be a sequel. I can tell that.
That's awesome. If you want, can you tell us all your social media and where they can find you on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, and all that? What the usernames are?
We have all our links on our webpage. It's www.retronerve.games, .com, retronerve.games. You can go there and find all of our social media accounts. But on Facebook and Twitter, we're just Retronerve. On Instagram, we're Retronerve Games. And on YouTube, just look out Kung Fu UFO or Retronerve, and it will pop out.
And I highly suggest going in and following the Instagram and the YouTube, because, like I said, you guys have been posting all kinds of really neat stuff with updates. And it's really cool to see.
Yeah, we can really see the passion behind this project, and I really hope this really takes off for you guys.
Yeah, thanks. As I said, we're trying to post updates as often as we can, if not daily. And we want people to see what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how fast we make the progress. So they know what they can expect once the Kickstarter, the Indiegogo goal is reached. They know that this kind of games takes time, but we're making it. We will make it.
So be patient. Let you guys work and don't complain, right?
Exactly. No, people don't complain. I think that our follower base is like pretty. They understand how things work. They are patient. They are very supportive. We're confident that this will be a huge success.
Well,
yeah, a lot of work goes into making a retro video game, especially for Sega.
Yeah.
Especially when you're two guys, like, geez.
Yeah, the thing is, we've been working on this for like a year without extra money, just us working on our houses, meeting as often as we can. And we've made some good demo. You guys are going to be able to play the demo in a few days. It's playable, it's nice, it's fun, and we are already showing it in some local events and to some friends, and people are liking the game, the demo, the feedback is good, so we're confident that we can inspire people to back and to believe in us.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on, and remember, to our listeners, go check out retronerve.games, and that'll give you links to all the social media. RetroNerve is on Patreon, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, that's retronerve.games. And be looking out for the Indiegogo on September 18th, 2018. Kung Fu UFO.
Finish him! So you can follow me, Goobs, on Twitter, at GoobsWN. Please do that. I love your support, because I love you. I love the gamers around here. And you can also find me on my other show called The Derailers, at The Derailers on Twitter. Me, my wonderful wife, my best friend, Ripken, we sit down, we take the train off the track every single damn day of the week, and we absolutely have no clue what we're going to be talking about. Or sometimes we do. You never know. Because we don't know what we're going to be talking about, but we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. So jump on the train, be a passenger, and subscribe to that show. And you can also find me and Ripken's other love project here, and I mean love in a big way, because we put a lot of effort into this, and that's Derailed Wrestling at WrestleNerds Wrestling on YouTube. We make a whole bunch of CAWs. We splice them all together in the ring. We create some intense action that you can only see on YouTube. Go check that channel out, because it's better than anything you're going to see on TV. And what about you, Player One?
I'm part of the Secret Transmission podcast. We talk about the spooky and the supernatural and conspiracies. And you can find us on all the major podcasting platforms. And you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Transpod. We have a Facebook page. Go find us. But for this show, we have an Instagram and a Twitter at Secret Levels Pod. We also have a Facebook page, Secret Levels Podcast. And we now have a group, Secret Levels Group, where you can discuss video games, your favorites, the ones you hate, video game news. You can discuss it with us and other like-minded people.
And hey, this is a secret message to you, the listener, right now. You know what you can do? Because you love 8-bit stuff. You love classic gaming. And you know what? We have that all covered for you at our t-shirt store at tpublic.com/user/thesecretlevels. Go there, get some wonderful, wonderful merch to put on your chest. You can put a logo on absolutely everything. It's great. Why don't you go do that right now? We'll be waiting for you.
Yeah, we're sitting here. Go ahead.
Yeah. You want to play some Battle Chest on NES?
No, I don't. But I think that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Game over, folks.
This podcast is part of the Some Buddies Network. You're never alone when you've got some buddies.
So when are you making a 32X game?
As soon as we get a 32X, we might be able to.
It would be the first good game on 32X.
Hello, How's it going, everyone? I'm Kevin, a.k.a. K-Slugs.
And I'm Peter, a.k.a. Deal For Real.
And we host a podcast called The Interstate Gamers. If you've ever wondered how your favorite games might stack up against each other, or you just want to hear some detailed reviews, then our show just might be for you.
On The Interstate Gamers, we discuss and critique everything from the gameplay to the aesthetics to the content of some of our favorite games.
You can find us almost anywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and even your trusty pal Alexa. Follow us on Twitter and make sure to subscribe if you like what you hear. Thanks for listening.